The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
With the 23rd pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Titus Howard, tackle, Alabama State.
You just think back to the fall season, how he played during the fall. Had starts both on the left side and the right side. Goes to the Senior Bowl and plays well. Goes to the best All-Star game in the business and played very well. Started that game. In fact, he started that game. Goes to the combine and excels. Did very well in the interview process. The private workout settings that we had with him. The pro day settings. I felt like with each interval, he was able to pass each segment with flying colors. Made a very favorable impression in terms of the intangible profile, the person, the character, match with the physical ability and the physical traits.
All right, so round one is in the books, and there's a lot more to go. It's going to be a Sam Houston Race Park Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, well, I'm not taking calls because we're on location, but you can get on the Blitz Facebook page and send a message, and Aaron will respond. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776, and it's a Friday, short show today. We'll only be on until 6 because we have the NFL draft, and let's jump right in. And go to the draft expert who is in Los Angeles
right now.
No, not you. Our good buddy Lance Erline. What's up, Lance?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Lance, pretty incredible performance by you last night, getting your 20 of your last mock draft, 22 for 22 to start, and then the Texans got you. I thought you were maybe going to have the first ever perfect mock draft, and you just came up short. Well, did we lose Lance?
No.
Oh, jeez.
Great.
Oh, I'm not going through that again.
That's a nice start. Plus, yeah. I'm trying to switch headphones while that's going on because that one kept falling down, and I would go from, and the Blitz is on for a Friday. Yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't like that.
That wasn't going to be cool.
Well, I mean, I guess while we're waiting on Lance. Okay. Lance, we got you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we were talking about you going 22 for 22 on your mock draft and almost having the first ever perfect first round. But the Texans got you. And even you didn't see this coming. What round grade did you have on him? And are you – I mean, how surprised were you that he was the guy they took?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Probably less surprised than you think because I have the same round grade on Greg. I basically have the same grade with Greg Little and Titus Howard. They're one guy is more ready now, one guy has a bigger upside to me, and that's Titus Howard. But Greg Little came from an SEC team, has been a 3-year starter on an SEC team. You obviously get the advantage for right now. So who did I put in my mock draft for the Texans? I put back Greg Little. The reason being is I put a reach at a left tackle because it was a huge position of need, and that position gets pushed up the draft board. All it was is all you do is just interchange names, Titus Howard and Greg Little. It was, you know, I just didn't know if the Texans, I'd heard Titus was going to sneak into the first round. I just didn't know if the Texans would have the balls to draft Titus Howard, and they did. I mean, let's be real. I think Greg Little and Titus Howard are both second-round tackles, but second-round tackles get pushed into the first on a fairly regular basis. Second-round quarterbacks get pushed up a lot of times. It's a position where that kind of thing happens. So that wasn't super surprising. I knew the Texans kind of had an affinity for Titus Howard. I thought it might be in the second or in a trade back, but his name got a little hot. We featured him on Path to the Draft. I featured him as my guy that could sneak into the first, a surprise name. And Bucky Brooks had Darnell Savage, and both guys got into the first. So it's not super surprising he got into the first. I didn't know if they would be willing to draft that kind of guy right there. With that said, and I said this on Twitter, I said this actually before the Texans ever drafted him. I said it on TV. I said it to Charlie Cashley yesterday morning. This has a feel a lot like when Dwayne Brown was drafted by the Texans, because he was the seventh tackle. People were pretty surprised he got put in the first round. I was. I thought Dwayne was a second or third rounder, and I'd watched him at the East-West Shrine practices. He looked very, very raw with a lot of his pass protection stuff, and he came in and really...
No, not yet.
Housekeeping's trying to come in. Oh,
no. Okay, that's fine.
Just you tell her you're pooping show. Right now.
You don't get that on other shows.
No.
So, Dwayne Brown had some bumps in the road his first year. Then he started coming on his second year. Wade Smith helped make him a pro. That came from Dwayne's mouth. He said, when I had Wade Smith next to me, he taught me how to be a pro. I went from being kind of an immature guy, and I really started to really take it seriously, how I trained, how I prepared in the offseason. He became an all-pro, multi-time pro bowler, one of the best left tackles in the game. It's the seventh tackle taken, and really, frankly, a reach in the first round, because Alex Gibbs demanded they get a tackle in that spot.
Well,
because there weren't going to be any other tackles after that. And Tony Hills was the next one, and he went to Pittsburgh in the fourth round out of the University of Texas. You probably remember him a little bit, AJ.
I do.
So, I just kept thinking, man, Titus Howard is going to end up in the first, and this is going to be a lot like the Dwayne Brown situation. And then it comes full circle because it's the Texans who draft him. And so I just want people to remember that. I know you don't know who this guy is. He's from Alabama State. You can just Google Titus Howard draft profile, and all of my draft report is there. Pros, cons, my draft grade, what I think of him. You can go read his background stuff, his bio stuff that Chad Reeder put in there, some good stuff. He's more ready. To me, he's better at this stage than Dwayne Brown was when the Texans drafted him, in my personal opinion.
Well, you mentioned that.
Ready for some negative? When you listen to what Brian Gain just said, I can't help but think it feels like a team that is really talking themselves into a guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They like him, but I really feel like they were talking themselves into Titus Howard being a 23rd guy. Which
do you think that comes from them having their heart set on Dillard and then the Eagles jumping up and snagging him right in front of them?
I think it comes from the preparation of needing a left tackle and wanting to talk yourself into the fact that you're not reaching a little bit for left tackle. I think this has been going on in their heads for a while. And that's not a slam. I just think the Texans knew they needed a left tackle. Brian Gain believes in best player available, and I think he had to get his head around the fact that Titus Howard, I think in his mind he probably was talking himself into believing that Titus Howard really is the best player available at a position of need, when maybe the reality is, you know, that wasn't the case. I feel like the Texans have been talking themselves in, because they couldn't have thought they had any chance of Andre Dillard falling that far. And when he almost got there, that would have been a miraculous fall for the Texans. Juwan Howard was not drafted because there is a medical red flag on his knee. I think he'll go sometime in a second. I don't have enough information to tell you more about that. He also rubbed some people the wrong way. And I was shocked he was dropping, honestly. Both those tackles, I was shocked that they were dropping as far as they did. And Juwan's still on the board.
I think the thing that bothers me about this pick, and for the everyone keeps telling me how much potential this guy has, and including you, and I see it, but I also feel like I guess I pictured the Texans drafting someone who would come in and instantly be ready to be an NFL left tackle. And from what I'm hearing, this guy's a long-term project. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned about Dwayne Brown and how the guys that were here really turned him into what he became. Well, this guy's showing up, and he's becoming part of the worst offensive line in the NFL. And there's nobody on this offensive line who he can look to and say, hey, man, how do I become a great NFL offensive lineman? Because nobody on this team has any idea how to be even a good NFL offensive lineman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think those are all fair comments. And, I mean, look, I'm an offensive line coach's son, so I don't like to just slam offensive line coaches because I know that there's a lot that goes into it. There has not been enough talent on that offensive line for any coach. No coach could have made the chicken salad out of what's up there. With that said, though, his development, so I don't like using the word project because he's not a project. He is a developmental player. So I just have very distinct differences. Projects are, you know, really, really raw, and you might get something, you might not. He is a guy that I think there's over a 70% chance that he's going to start the season at left tackle as a starter. There's an outside chance I think Matt Khalil could beat him. I don't think Julian Davenport will. And let's remember, Matt Khalil was an early first-round pick. And it didn't work out for an early first-round pick. But with that said, he's a developmental player, which means I think he can come along a lot faster. He's not somebody that's going to take forever. But I think you make a fair point, AJ. I mean, is the right coach in place to develop him? I wish they'd call Larry Zerline and say, hey, we'd like for you to come be an assistant O-line coach and really work with technique on these guys. And really work, because that's my dad's a specialist with technique stuff. He worked with Garrett Bradbury before the draft, and that's what he does. And he's well known around league circles for that. And I wish there was, and I know he knows Devlin. I mean, my dad coached with Mike Devlin's son, I think at Tulane. So anyway, you know, I think that's a fair comment. Who do you lean on? Who's the veteran on the Texans? Was Chantrell Henderson the guy who's played 7 games in 3 years or 8 games in 3 years? Nope. Is it Martinez Rankins? Nope. I guess Zach Fulton, although he doesn't play next year.
You're talking about a bunch of guys who are fringe NFL starters at best.
Yeah, and now maybe Matt Khalil, because this was a first-round guy out of a major conference at USC.
That's true.
Matt Khalil is a guy who's been there, done that. He just hasn't done it for very long at a high level where he was drafted. That's the problem. But he might offer some. But you know what? He also might not make the team. That's the reality, is they may not carry Matt Khalil. Let's see how they draft. They could end up drafting Dalton Reisner in the second round. They could have Juwan Taylor fall to him and have a choice to make, you know? So if that happens, then if you're a Texans fan, you have to forget where Titus Howard is drafted. And if that were to happen hypothetically, which I don't think would happen, but if it happened, then you'd have to say, well, you basically just got the two tackles you wanted, a left and a right. And then it didn't matter where they were drafted, to be honest with you, because it's just a matter of you got the guys that you got. So I do think the Texans are going to go cornerback at least once and maybe twice today. We'll see.
Yesterday we talked about the Texans in that 23rd pick and how Brian Gaines, a big believer in drafting the best guy at a position of need. Do you think that they thought that the player they took was the best player at a position of need, or he was the best tackle? Because, I mean, there's some cornerbacks that I would imagine, I mean, a lot of teams, and I'm surprised only one cornerback went in the first round, to be honest, but it seems like that there had to be some serious thought given to a guy like, you know, Greedy Williams or even Baker, because he was there at the time. Do you think that they really just went in saying, we're going to get the best, the highest rated tackle on our board, period?
So I'm going to give you guys some inside knowledge that I have not put out there on all this. Dalton Baker is a guy who they believe, not they, the Texans, people around the league, say DeAndre Baker was a 4.4 40 guy who turned himself into a 4.5 40 guy because he didn't show up at combine workouts all the time, didn't take it seriously, told teams that his practice habits were a C. I mean, actually answered a question by saying, what are your practice habits, you think? A C. I don't know that's a guy I could throw my support behind, to be honest with you, in the first round. Greedy Williams, proof's in the pudding. He's not off the board at all. That should tell you something. And he is not the most courageous tackler you're ever going to meet.
Well, I've seen the film I've seen on Greedy Williams, I get it. The film on DeAndre Baker, though, says
it's good,
this guy's good.
So here's I brought it up, right? So I had a DB coach who I've known for years. He's coached with my dad, and we were talking about all these defensive backs. And I said, what about DeAndre Baker? You know, we just talk about every player. So what about DeAndre Baker? He goes, you can have him. I said, oh, you don't want him? He said, he makes all his plays within 5 yards. He grabs guys, holds them, and does that stuff that they can do in college. He said, where is he when his hands are off guys and he's using technique and he's making plays down the field on the ball? Where's his footwork? Where is the way that you have to play in the league? And his point was, it's easy to make plays in the football 6 yards from the line of scrimmage where you are allowed to legally, really frankly, you can legally maul 10, 15 yards. You can just maul guys at the top of the route. And they let you do it. Xavien Howard had physical assaults on the field when he was at Baylor against other people. And then he had to learn to, you know, to take the trust technique more than his hands. So Greedy, a lot of people have a problem with Greedy and if he loves football. It's not a total shock that he fell out. DeAndre Baker's a good football player, but the football character kind of bothers you a little bit. Byron Jones, Texans like height, weight, speed. He's under 6 foot.
You told me how slow he was.
5'5". Yeah, oof. I mean, that didn't fit the mold, but I think the Texans did like him because of all of his ball production. They're going to get tackled. Here's the two corners. I'll give you three corners to keep an eye on today for the Texans. Lonnie Johnson from Kentucky, Sean Bunting from Central Michigan, Justin Lane from Michigan State. These are guys that fit the mold of what the Texans want. Longer, faster cornerbacks. And I think there's a chance because Rocky Sin, I don't have to go into these names. I don't know if your listeners will know all of them. But let me just put it this way. A bunch of wide receivers fell out of the first, and a bunch of cornerbacks fell out of the first. So it's going to be Drew Locke. It's going to be probably this kid Tristan Hill from Central Florida, who I know the Cowboys like. And then it's just going to be a bunch of cornerbacks and wide receivers that go flying off the board now. So the hope is the Texans, you know, the board won't get too decimated by the time it gets to them because they're not trading up. I don't see them trading up today either. They didn't trade up yesterday. They don't want to give away any picks. Although I will say this, when I found out what, you know, you gave up a fourth and a sixth, man, if you really love Dillard, and that's the price tag, and you could get away at the future fourth, because you didn't have a fourth this year. If you could give up a future fourth and a sixth this year for Dillard, I think I would have moved up two spots up to number 21, or actually somebody traded up to 21. Well, that's the problem. 20 was already – 20 probably wouldn't have traded with you because 20 was Denver, and they had already traded back, and they wanted Fant. So I don't know if 20 would have traded with you, and 21 was already a trade-in spot for another team. Remember, Seattle traded the pick to somebody else.
And then 22 was
the next trade.
You know, obviously the Texans, like you said, they don't want to give up their draft stock from this year. Is there any potential that they would give up some of next year's draft stock to move up
today? I think there's a chance, and I'll tell you why. Because based on free agency next year and the way it's set up, I think there's a belief that the Texans could be in for some compensatory picks next year. And so they may say, look, we know we're going to have more. Let's do some credit card spending and let's give up a compensatory pick, or, you know, what we project to be a compensatory. One of the reasons I found this out from talking to a cap guy in the league, he said, you know why the Texans weren't active in free agency? I said, why? He said, because you don't just sign guys to sign guys. When you do, you eliminate your chance for getting compensatory picks. And he said, smart teams now are very careful to balance out their players lost versus players gained, because that's the formula. You start with that. If you lose five players that are awesome and you get five players who are scrubs, it's an immediate cancel. It's 5 minus 5 equals 0, no comp picks. Doesn't matter how good they are, how much they made. There's a formula that basically says if you're a regular caliber player who is a free agent, you have to lose more than you gain. So what the Texans intentionally did was they made sure that they lost more than they gained so they would have comp picks. So with what you're saying, yeah, I think I would consider using some credit card spending next year if it meant getting a guy you absolutely love. You already missed out on one, I'm assuming. I don't know their board. But, man, Dillard was right there, but he was never right there for you. Philadelphia is always poised to move ahead of the Texans. And the Texans couldn't do anything. You know why? Because they have too many holes, because they gave away their second-round pick to save their cap space for Tony Romo, like dummies. And then they had to give away a second last year, which was – so, you know, they just kept digging themselves in this hole. And what's the domino effect of that? You got to push up a left tackle a little earlier than you want to take them. You know, it has an impact. When you screw up your draft and you can't stick to your process and you mismanage cap and mismanage your issues, this is what happens. You get put in a corner. And the Texans were in a corner. And I think that's why they had to come out with Howard. These two picks are critical in the second round today. I mean, just critical.
if they were to move up, I mean, would you do you think Juwan Taylor's off their board because of the knee, or do you think he just wasn't in play at 23 because of his knee?
You know, I think there's an outside chance that maybe Juwan Taylor wasn't on their board because he's a right tackle only, and they just were adamant that they had to get somebody to, because the quarterback's always going to hang on to the ball for a long time. He's always going to take hits. So I think the thought was, we got to find a guy that can handle left tackle. But you know, my gut tells me that he's going to end up being off the Texans board. But now, does that mean off the board in the first and not, and maybe on the board in the second? Maybe so. Would they trade up for another tackle? They don't. I mean, they might. They might. Because I keep thinking it's two cornerbacks here. But, you know, you can find cornerbacks in rounds 2, 3, 4, and even 5. You don't find tackles in rounds 4 and 5, ever, except bad ones, like Julian Davenport.
Yeah.
All right, that's Lance Erline. He's working for the NFL Network, and, of course, he works for us and did a great job. And big reason that we had a record number of page views on SportsMap yesterday was his final mock draft. So
there you go. By the way, can I ask you guys a question? So, you know, it came up, it came to light about me wrongfully being called in a gang up, in a typical bully move by the morning show host, me being called the worst person on the morning show, which I'm not, I'm others receiving votes at best. But then I threw in, well now, wouldn't AJ be in this conversation if we included all the shows? Because I feel like you would at least be on the, I feel like you'd be in, you'd be receiving some votes. I feel like when we had our reveal show on Tuesday to see where all the numbers are, AJ, I feel like you'd be up there a little bit.
I think we discussed this yesterday. I'm not even the worst person on this show. That's Fred by far.
Fred?
Yeah, he's always been the worst person on our show.
I'm
trying to figure out how that's a fact, but okay.
It doesn't feel that way to me.
Lance, I served our country, Lance. That's, I mean.
That doesn't give you a pass to be a dickweed for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it kind of does. It kind of does.
You're like Lieutenant Dan, only you got your legs.
Yeah, that's exactly what I am.
Just mean, like a rattlesnake, just like Lieutenant Dan, only, you know, a lot more running.
All right, that Lance Erline from.
And that's probably why I get votes.
Why.
I think you just picked up a couple votes.
Lance, we appreciate it, man. It's nice having an expert on the show. We were going to bring Holly on, but then we found out that you could join the show today, so we just went with you instead.
Hey, I don't mind second fiddle to Holly. I'd get her on. Get her on the show later.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, we'll see you.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you knew this, but the average guy is going to spend about 3,000 hours of his lifetime shaving. So why do you want to waste 4 months of your life overpaying for poor performing razors or just trying to use one for too long and chopping your face up like your yard or something? Don't do that. Listen, I love Harry's because the quality's there, the convenience is there, the affordability's there. I'm getting great razors at a really low price, and I get them delivered right to my door. You could join the 10 million people who have tried Harry's and get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping. Free shipping. So $3. All you have to do is use FAOUR at Harrys.com. And guess what? If you don't love your shave, you're going to get that whopping $3 back. That is their 100% quality guarantee. For a limited time, Harry's has a special offer just for the Blitzers. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code FAOUR at Harrys.com. That means you can get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code FAOUR at Harrys.com. And that's it. Use code FAOUR at checkout to claim your offer. Join the 10 million who tried Harry's, and let them know I sent you. I promise you, you're going to love your shave. You're going to love your razors. Harrys.com.
With a thousand eyes in a good day.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz live here at Sam Houston Race Park, where Guess what they're having tomorrow night, AJ?
Hot dogs.
Well, sort of. Corgi races.
The what?
Those are a lot of fun. If you haven't been out to see them, they're hilarious. So, before we get back to draft stuff, because we'd like to get your opinion on a few things, since we basically just...
You want my opinion or Lance's?
Well, we just got Lance's. Just did a bunch of Lance.
Okay.
But I want to thank all the Blitzers, because yesterday was the best day we've ever had on Sports Map, by far. And we're going to shatter our monthly record. We're going to double our monthly record this month. But I'm not going to get into the total numbers, but for one day, we had over 100,000 page views.
That's pretty awesome.
So, and a lot of stuff was Lance's and Josh's, and people are still reading the Game of Thrones and in-game stuff. So just a lot of really good stuff. Cody's stuff that he did last night. Our Astros reports, or people are really enjoying those. So thank you guys for making us the most badass sports website in the city.
There you go.
So what did you think of the pick, and just some general thoughts on the draft?
Titus Howard was on the list of guys I looked at, and I mean, I think it's a physically he checks a lot of boxes. Let's start with that. I mean, he looks the part for sure. He's got the size and the strength that you're looking for.
And jump from quarterback to tight end.
Yeah, he's an
tackle.
Athlete. Yeah. He's an athlete. But the level of competition is SWAC level. You know, he's going, and we saw on Senior Day that, and I think like the maybe the most at the Senior Bowl, maybe one of the most famous things coming out of the Senior Bowl was Montez Sweat basically just ragdolling him. Now, granted, Montez Sweat's good, he looks like he's a pretty good prospect too, and it's literally one day of practice.
It was actually one play, because the play before that, I'm told he pancaked Montez Sweat.
Okay, well, so they're not showing that.
They're not, and that's one of the reasons why I don't want. It's almost impossible to put much stock in any of this, because I'll be honest, I don't think I watched 1 second of Alabama State football this year. Not even when they played Auburn. I don't know.
What's funny is I haven't gone back and watched the game. But what I've heard is that he actually held up really well in the Auburn game. And if you're looking for positive tape on him, I guess we probably could have asked Lance.
Well, yeah, and I heard him mention that on the earlier show. It said he was a beast in that game.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen.
But that's one game.
Yeah, but let's face it, Jadeveon Clowney had one play.
Well, and that's the thing. And so, I mean, I just feel like, to me, though, it felt almost like a panic move, because Dillard went right before them. Even as quickly as they put the pick out, they just wanted to make it look like, oh, yeah, we're sure about this.
But, I mean, like Lance said, and we talked about it yesterday, if you wanted Dillard, supposedly you were going to have to get him, you know, inside the top 20, and then he fell to 22. I mean, I feel like the Texans all along had to have some sort of a backup plan in case he was gone.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking they were assuming he was gone. But when he gets to 22 – and, you know, you make the phone call, because somebody's obviously going to try to trade in front of you at that point. And I wouldn't have been opposed to them giving up what Philadelphia gave to move up. And the Ravens move down one spot if you do that. Better deal for them. But, and this whole thing about we need more draft picks. So trade down tonight. If you traded up and got your guy, trade one of those twos down tonight and get another three or four.
Or trade a pick from next year.
Yeah.
You know, if you say we'll give you our third round pick next year to let us move up two spots or whatever. I mean, I can't imagine a team would pass on that.
Yeah, and it would have been, in this case, one spot. So
yeah,
I think that struck me as a little too conservative.
Yeah,
frankly,
and you know, maybe.
But if you think this guy is close in talent level, then all right, but. All indications were that wasn't the case.
My biggest frustration was, by all accounts, this guy is a project, a long-term project, and maybe he's going to be really good in a couple years. My understanding was the Texans were looking to draft someone who could be an impact guy this season.
Well, and I think Lance said it, though. He's going to have to play this year.
Oh, he's going to have to, but is he ready to be an impact player? That's the question. I mean,
but it depends on how much of a project you really think he is, and if he's a long-term 2-year thing, well, okay, that's not going to help you out a lot. But if you think by week 8, week 9 next year, he can be your starter, that's fine. I mean, I assume that's why you brought Matt Khalil in, is to start the season there and have this guy develop.
I assume this guy's going to be playing week 1, whether it's with Matt Khalil or instead of
side.
Matt Khalil. Yeah, I can't picture a scenario where – because he's – I mean, I can't say this because he's not played a snap in the NFL – he better be the best offensive lineman the Texans have. I mean, because if he's not, then they're in real trouble. But I assume that he's just going to show up and be the best guy there. I mean, I think that's what they have to be expecting.
Yeah, well, offensive linemen are tricky. Sometimes guys like that, you might expect them to be, and they're not right off the bat. He's got a lot to learn, obviously. But your question about do they have the right guy to develop him, and that's, I think, a fair question. But I'm not going to sit here and torch him over it, because if, you know, like I said, Lance had some good things to say about him. They needed a tackle. They needed a left tackle. And, you know, I mean, anybody who's going, oh, well, they never should have drafted this guy and all this. Well, you haven't seen him play. Unless you watch a bunch of SWAC games, you haven't seen the guy play. So you don't know.
I don't know.
None of us do.
All I did was, this is a big man. He's athletic. I mean.
I read the background on him, and what did Lance write about
him? Yeah. I mean, and Lamont's making fun of me for saying check all the boxes. I mean, I'm saying physically he is what they were looking for.
There's a box?
Yeah. Lamont's, God, I don't know what's going on with him lately. He's trolling me, but whatever. but either way, I mean, this guy is he looks the part. I don't know if he can play. I don't know if the Texans know if he can play. I think and like Lance said, Brian Gaine, it doesn't spark a lot of confidence. It does sound like they're trying to talk themselves into basically thinking that they made the right move, and it doesn't seem like a lot of confidence around there, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and his answers when he was asked about Dillard and other stuff, they were very standoffish and typical Texans organization. I'm not going to talk about potential trades. You know, I think they got caught with their pants down there a little
Maybe
bit.
Maybe so. They got the fifth offensive lineman in the draft, the third that is likely to play tackle, although Jonah Williams can basically play whatever position on the offensive line he wants. Chris Lindstrom, the guard from Boston College, and Garrett Bradbury, the center from North Carolina State, go before him too. But, I mean, if you told me, hey, you've got your third pick of, you've got third choice of the tackles in this draft, I mean, I guess I wouldn't complain if I were the Texans. And if that's their third choice, so be it.
And second choice of left tackles, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he played right last year, but I think they're looking at him as a left tackle, and that's where he played 2 years ago. And obviously there's upside, because you just don't know what you don't know what the ceiling is, but obviously he can get a lot better, because he has improved and he's changed his body and very athletic. It's just the level of competition is going to scare you always.
Well, I don't know. I mean, none of us are going to know probably for a couple years what this guy is. It's just anytime you draft a guy from a school like this, there's going to be, oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you didn't see that guy play in college. And
right. And honestly, most of you didn't see Andre Dillard play in college.
You might have
seen some Washington State games, but how many of you were watching for him? Yes.
And the other thing is, there was only one player either not a Power 5 or Notre Dame, because a Notre Dame player was taken. And that's Titus Howard. He's the only one not from a big time college football conference to go in. Well, at Oliver too.
At Oliver, so
there were two.
Which, what do you think of that for your Bills?
I was happy with it. I mean, I thought I've seen that dude go in the top five according to a lot of experts. I guess he was really impressing late in the process. So the fact that he was there at 9. I figured the Bills would be more likely to take some guy way off the board. And I actually kind of thought they were going to take Jonah Williams because they need offensive line help, specifically because they've got a quarterback who has no interest in staying in the pocket. But it was – I think he was by far the best player on the board where they picked. So I didn't have a problem with him. He's a fun dude, too.
He's going to fit in with Bill's Mafia, and he's a player.
I hope that's not true. I don't want players who fit in with those miscreants up there. You think I want Ed Oliver up there, like, banging chicks over the hood of a car, of a Buick, a Skylark? No, I don't want that guy.
That's not quite what I meant, but okay.
Like, body slamming his best friend through a table? No. You're peeing in a public water container? No, I don't want those guys.
I just meant he's going to endear himself to them.
Oh, maybe that.
Yeah.
Although he didn't really endear himself to UH fans on the way out the door, did he?
Well, I didn't take it that way. Because if you'd asked me...
What are you going to miss about college? Absolutely nothing.
Well, ask me the same thing when I got out of college, yeah. And I'm going to tell you the same thing.
I just felt like, and it was kind of hinted at last season, that he didn't really want to be at UH anymore. And
well, I think he didn't want to play for Major Applewhite anymore.
That's what I think. That's the nice way to put it.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't blame him.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Just a puff of smoke, yeah.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Sam Houston Race Park, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Plan a great entertainment experience at your local movie tavern. Enjoy a movie while ordering a wide selection of food and beverages directly from your reserve seat. At 4:53... Caller 10 to 713-780-3776 wins two free movie vouchers plus a $25 food and beverage voucher. Visit movietavern.com for tickets and info on fantastic promotions like $5 movie admission Tuesdays at Movie Tavern. Also need to tell you, last call for the Barks and Bling adoption and pet event at Zadok Jewelers tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 at Post Oak Boulevard in San Felipe. Join Zadok Jewelers for a day for the dogs. Come to adopt your new best friend and bring your well-behaved pooch at the Barks and Bling Adoption Drive. Hang out on the Zadok lawn to Bra's perfect jewels.
Perfect.
From Heather B. Moore and grab a bite to eat for people and pets alike from the That's My Dog food truck or Three Dog Bakery. They'll also have a raffle featuring a Heather B. Moore dog bone pendant and more. We hope you make it out tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2. At 1749 Post Oak Boulevard at San Felipe. All right, now let's squeeze in a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, this is probably directed at John Granato more than anyone else.
Okay.
This is why you should never play golf. A golfer was at the Mohegan Sun Golf Club in Sprague, Connecticut.
Okay.
8:30 Thursday morning, was out with his foursome, probably, you know, lining up his shot, getting ready to see if he could smack a nice pure one to the middle of the green, when all of a sudden he was attacked by a rabid bobcat.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
The bobcat jumped on
his... Do you get a mulligan?
I'm wondering if you're playing for money, probably not. But if the bobcat hits you on your swing and affects
especially,
your shot,
yeah, like
it prompted the other members of the force.
I get mad when someone farts when in my backswing.
Yeah, or coughs, or you know, which some people do intentionally, or the little trick that this friend of mine used to do, which I hated him for. He'd always kind of get where the sun was and make sure that his shadow was messing with your ball before you swung. But no one ever threw a rabid bobcat at me. And that's apparently what happened, and he attacked the guy, scratched him on his back, and other members of the foursome used their golf clubs to beat back the animal, and they thought they'd killed it, but nope, he just popped right up and left. Apparently, he had already attacked a horse nearby. The horse sustained neck and eye injuries. Environmental police tracked down the hissing bobcat in a nearby culvert and shot it. The animal,
they shot it?
Yeah, it said the animal was transported to a medical lab where it tested positive for rabies. Mm. Bobcats are said to be secretive animals, and attacks on humans are extremely rare.
I've never been attacked by one.
I haven't either, but they say we tell people you're 1,000 times more likely to get bitten by your neighbor's dog. My neighbor's dogs are really nice. They wouldn't bite me. But I guess the moral of the story is don't play golf. You might get attacked by a rabid bobcat.
Yeah.
You're more likely to get attacked by a rabid bobcat if you're playing golf than if you're sitting at Sam Houston Race Park. And that's
probably
that's
true.
That's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
So, yeah, we had to do that a little early because we're out at 6 o'clock. And so last segment, we're going to do stupid stuff. So 6 o'clock, we will have the draft right here on ESPN 97.5.
The draft of professional football.
That's right. The NF of L. And
sports guys.
I'll be able to listen to that on the...
sports players getting picked.
Apparently, NFL Network never said anything about Tariq Hill last night.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the big deal? He just punched his kid in the chest.
I don't know about you. That's kind of a major story.
He's 3 years old. I mean, he's built for that. No?
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time you had a 3-year-old? 14 years ago?
Yeah, it'd have to be.
Yeah. You used to punch her in the chest when she was 3?
No, but...
Because it was socially acceptable then.
Back then.
Like, when I was a kid... I was 3 years old in 1983. It was absolutely okay to punch your kid in the chest in 1983.
It was certainly okay to use a belt on him.
Oh, for sure. It's just not in the face region.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny that, I mean, my guess is he's going to end up being cut. He's been suspended from Chiefs activities. But I remember when we had the conversation about Adrian Peterson. And I was kind of torn on it because do I think Adrian Peterson went too far? Yes. But do I also think that, you know, there's different thoughts on what's acceptable, what's an acceptable discipline for children? Like when I heard like his ball sack got cut open by the switch. That's what I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's a little far.
He may have gone a little too far. This one, there's not much conversation to be had. I don't think in any culture is it acceptable discipline to just play open chest punch with your kid, with a 3-year-old anyway.
Or break his arm.
That's against the rules too. Or punch him when he's in the womb, which is...
what Tariq Hill
did. Tariq Hill's already done that. So...
The DA announced that they've reopened the case against him, according to Andy Reid about an hour ago, he said.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I know the cops got called last night after the tape got released. Apparently, Tariq Hill didn't take very well to that tape being made public. I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Don't you realize I'm about to sign the biggest wide receiver contract in the history of the NFL? Well, not anymore. You're not, bro. Hard times.
Yeah, and what was sad was listening to people try and defend him. Once the tape, we got to make sure that's his voice on the tape.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty sure that they wouldn't have released that and said it was him if it wasn't him.
That's like the Billy Bush, Donald Trump tapes. How do you know that's Trump?
All right, well, there's still a lot of things we haven't talked about, like any of the other picks.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We haven't talked about the Love Street Music Fest either. It's Sunday, May 19th, 1 o'clock at the brewery. The 2019 lineup's been released. Walk the Moon, Bishop Briggs, Toadies, Lovely the Band, Wrestlers, Slender Bodies, and Vody all going to be playing 1 to 10 p.m. That's a full day of live music and cold refreshment out there at Carbach. And while you're out there, get into that restaurant. Get some of that grub. It's so good. The poutine, Korean fried chicken, the Hatch chili mac and cheese, the crab cakes, the fish and chips I love. They've got a great steak night out there. They're open daily 11 to 9 for lunch and dinner. They're open 11 to 2 on Saturdays and Sundays doing brunch. I mean, they're open 11 to 9 those days too, but 11 to 2 they're serving brunch. Great time to get out there with the lady. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or when you're out and about this weekend, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.